right, it's 12. Hey, this is Wayne. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes. Great, thanks. Cool. So we're going to take a moment and review the agenda as people trickle in. So first, with IP note, anyone can participate in these calls, but all substantive contributors to any CCG work items have to be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. So these minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at the CCG Meetings Archive. We use IRC to queue speakers during the call, as well as take minutes. All attendees should type present plus in IRC to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. And in IRC, type Q plus to add yourself to the queue with an optional reminder. You can add something after the Q plus. If you're not in IRC, simply just ask to be put on the queue. And please be brief so everyone gets the chance to chime in if they want to. And always put yourself back on the queue. This meeting is held by voice, not by IRC. So off-topic IRC comments are subject to deletion from the record. We work hard to manage a single thread of conversation so everyone can participate and be heard. Please respect the group process by joining the queue when you have something to contribute. And at this point, I'm going to move to scribe selection. So we need a volunteer to scribe. Do we have any volunteers? Another call for volunteers because a few more people joined. Okay, I'm going to start running through the scribe list. Christopher Allen, are you around? Jeff Orgel, are you around? Moses Ma, are you around? Gabe Hope Cohen, are you present? Sumita Jonek, Ted Thobadu, Ken Ebert. I'm going to skip over Drummond because he will be giving an update later. Bill Barnhill, are you around? Adam Lemon. Justin Richer, Dimitri Z, you're around. Ganesh Anand, Jonathan Holt, Kelly Cooper, Adrian Gropper, are you willing to scribe for us?
I can't today. I'm sorry, I'm babysitting.
Oh, no worries. That's very important. Clea Young, are you around? Identity woman. And I see that. Oh.
Hi.
Hi, would you be willing to describe for us, please?
Yeah, just let me get to IRC. Not there yet.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we are looking for volunteer students or anyone else who wants to get to the community to help scribe as well. So if you know anyone that fits that description, please email the mailing list or the chairs. We would appreciate that a lot. It'd be a great way to
Yeah,
break into the
I got the IRC.
Thanks, Cleo. Great. So we're going to move to introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone new on the call that would like to introduce themselves?
I'm new.
Hi, who are you?
Hi, this is Joni Brennan. I'm the president of the DIAC, the Digital ID Authentication Council of Canada. I was invited by Heather. I'm really glad to be here today to maybe provide 5 minutes of an update regarding DIAC and who we are, and I look forward to hearing from others. I do have a hard stop in 26 minutes, so I hope to hear and participate as much as possible in the next 26 minutes. Thank you.
Great. We're really pleased to have you. Would anyone else like to give an introduction? Going once, twice. Okay, moving on to reintroductions. Would anyone like to reintroduce themselves to the group? I may call in a name or two if I don't get any responses. Let's see. Let's call on Dimitri. Dimitri Z, if you're around and would like to give a reintroduction to the group, that would be cool.
Sure, thank you. So yeah, I'm Dmitry Zagadulin, software engineer in the decentralized identity and credential space. I work with Digital Bazaar. I'm one of the co-chairs of the Secure Data Storage Working Group, joint item DIF and Credentials Community Group, and written various did resolver and verifiable credential libraries in Node, and am active in possibly way too many standards bodies. That's me. Thanks.
Great, thank you. Okay, and I'll call on one more person to give a reintroduction if you would like to. Don't feel pressure. Silence is just means that you want to pass. Joe Andrew, would you like to reintroduce yourself to the group?
Sure. I'm Joe Andrew, former co-chair of this group. I run a small consulting called Legendary Requirements, focused on decentralized identity and blockchain. That's it.
Great, thank you so much. Moving on to announcements and reminders. So no real upcoming events for the community yet. If you know of any, please send them to the chairs. Identiverse ended, I believe, pretty recently, and there have been some synopses written for that. We're expecting to have a recap of a lot of the interesting topics at Identiverse to this community group in the upcoming weeks as one of the sessions. If anyone has any announcements, feel free to queue yourself at this time, and we'll make space for you. Okay. Clea, would you like to discuss IIW and why it's important?
Sure.
I'll take this if you're ready.
IIW is October 20th to 22nd, and I believe registration is up and open, and it will be we'll be using the same platform we did last time, so it's virtual. So yeah, we welcome everyone who's here in CCG and the broader identity community.
Great, thank you so much for that. Announcement slash update from the chairs. Thanks a lot to Manu Sporty for his great contributions to a Jitsi server. Jitsi is a video conference and screen sharing software that is open source and written in Java, and we're hosting it in a cloud, so we'll have a very accessible new medium integrated with the IRC bot and the open nature of the notes that we have been historically keeping at CCG here, and we're all very excited for that. So you should receive updates soon about that, and I believe we have an open GitHub issue on that matter. So now moving forward to the next agenda item, progress on action items. The only issue that we wanted to review for this meeting was multi-base, multi-hash, hash link status. And Kim, I'll hand this one over to you, talking about what these things are and what is the status of this issue.
Actually, this is just we're looking for status of these items. Are they ready to be moved to complete or yes, that's all we're looking for these.
And perhaps for the interest of the group, what is multi-hash and why should people look into it?
We should get the owners to talk to that, actually. I think that should be Manu, and I'm not sure who else is owner of that.
Oh, Manu has queued, so Manu, you have the floor.
Right. So these specifications deal with identifying binary streams. Identifying bytes of information that have to do with a cryptographic hash, identifying bytes of information that point to a resource on the web that is associated with a cryptographic hash, and base encoding stuff. It's kind of like a toolkit to help people working on DIDs and verifiable credentials to express kind of links in more trustworthy ways. The issue has to do with the drafts have expired at the Internet Engineering Task Force. We basically just need to hit a button to refresh them to bring them back to life. They're not done. We are waiting for feedback from the community. So they will be, we can have a bit more, we can believe that they're more done when people have built something substantial on top of them, like verifiable credentials that depend on them heavily or a DID method that depends on them heavily. Until then, they're kind
and
of
now
in
I'm
a
on my diet.
Comments,
I can't drink it.
Period. And that's kind of where we are. If the group feels like we should continue this work, I can hit the button and refresh them. Otherwise, we can just kind of let them fade away into history.
Okay. We recognize Christopher Allen.
Yeah, I just had a question for Manu. I know that Blockchain Commons looked into potentially using these for, I mean, right now they're basically, you know, hashes is the main use that is used by like IPFS and such. But they never really moved on to keys and other things that I think they've been promising that for like 4 years and such. So we basically just gave up on all of these multi-hash and things because of an absence of multi-key and have moved to CBOR. And where we feel like we're having a lot more productive coding and other stuff with existing libraries and such. So, you know, my big question is, what do you think about the difference between, coding hashes with CBOR versus, you know, and keys with CBOR versus continuing this particular IPFS-oriented effort, which doesn't seem like it's gone anywhere. That's it.
Great. Thank you so much for the update. So we have no other action items to review at this time. We're going to move into the main topic for today, and that is updates from around the decentralized identity ecosystem, including DIF, Trust Over IP, Women in ID, Hyperledger Aries, and I believe we have Dayak here, and possibly one more group. Heather, feel free to chime in. I think you might know more about this. Oh, it looks like Manu was on the queue, actually. Sorry about that. Manu, would you like to have one more topic?
Okay.
One more
time in. Sure. And whoever just joined, thank you for muting. Christopher, CBOR doesn't solve the problem. Keys. Ori's done a lot of work recently that have gotten new key types into the registry, so multi-key is a thing now. We're making good progress on that. And many of us are planning to use that for DID methods. If you're going to use CBOR, these specifications are still useful. So, for example, CBOR LD does use multi-base and would end up using multi-hash as well for DIDs that use both multi-base and multi-hash. So they are complementary to Seaborn. Seaborn doesn't replace them. As far as them not going anywhere, I'd beg to differ, primarily because IPFS uses them very, very heavily, and there are lots of people using them. And we've seen an uptick in more and more people considering their usage. So, you know, I think they're still relevant today. We're seeing uptake. The key stuff's being addressed. People aren't spending a lot of time providing input because the specs are so simple that there's not much to comment on. So I think that's kind of where we are.
Great. Thank you so much for that side of the perspective. So moving on to the updates, I think we should actually start with DIAC due to some time constraints from Joni. So Joni, if you're here, we'd love to hear from you about DIAC. And for all the updates, we're expecting around 5 minutes, maybe reminding the group what your organization stands for, what's its vision overall, what have you been up to this past summer, and what are your plans for the fall and onwards?
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity. I'll watch the 5 minute clock, and I absolutely appreciate moving a little bit forward in the queue due to the time constraints. So thanks for that, and to everyone else for your understanding. Much appreciated. So I'm Joni Brennan. I'm the president of the Digital Identity Authentication Council of Canada. We're a non-for-profit association that is funded through memberships. We have between 75 and 80 or so members and growing. Our memberships are from organizations that are both from public and private sector. So we have different orders of government who are participating, for example, at the federal government in Canada, Treasury Board Secretariat, Industry, Science and Economic Development from the federal side as examples, as well as provincial participants, for example, British Columbia, Ontario, New Brunswick, Saskatchewan, and then many technology organizations who are deploying solutions and services. Our main focus as an organization, we were actually created out of a mandate, out of a task force that was developed by the Minister of Finance way back in 2008, 2009 here in Canada. It was during the global financial crash that was happening at that time. For this reason, this is one of the reasons that we actually have taken a very economics-based focus on digital identity, in particular socioeconomics and what identity can do to move GDP forward and to enable society. So that's why we have this economics lens. One of our major pieces of work, we do work publishing papers. We really are here to inform decision makers and reduce uncertainty toward adoption of digital identity solutions and services. We have a number of principles. Open standards based is one of those principles. So we're very keen on standards development, of course. One of our major pieces of work is the Pan-Canadian Trust Framework. And this is the framework that is really focused on the guidances and guidelines for verification of people, verification of organizations, and verification of relationships between each. So it's quite a broad surface, if you will. It's a wide berth, if you will, for digital identity. So it is kind of all encompassing around you know, the ability to verify. The scope of what we're looking at, where the Pan-Canadian Trust Framework, it is a framework, so it sets out guidance around business processes, legal processes, and which kinds of technologies and which kinds of technology standards should be deployed against different risk profiles or different levels of assurance. So our scope is very focused on both public and private sector interoperating together. And, you know, from the, I would say from the distributed landscape, the Pan-Canadian Trust Framework itself is technology and technology model agnostic. So we've really written the framework to be componentized, to be able to be kind of put together and used in different ways. It should be able to work as well for federation, old school federation, if you will, as well as newer and emerging distributed identity ecosystems. And so where we're really interested is, I would say, networks for identity, and I think that falls into the distributed landscape. And we're looking at kind of the range of different flavors of kinds of networks, ranging from different flavors based on governance and technology for self-sovereign identity, all the way through the different kinds of flavors and implementations of trusted operator type networks. So the Pan-Canadian Trust Framework, we do envision that it is reaching 1.0 for, so that's its really first push out there, and we're in the process of alpha testing the framework itself with public and private sector actors now. We envision kind of where the framework will go moving forward. It has 10 basic components, but we do envision we're actually starting to circle around what would it mean to test and verify a digital wallet or agent. So we're looking at principles there and what is the right space to move into there. We're also very curious on what it might mean to kind of verify a network so that a particular network could be verified for appropriate use for particular use cases and particular risk profiles. So we're not there yet on the verification of the wallet or the verification of the network, but we think that those are incredibly interesting spaces. If you've seen and heard about the Pan-Canadian Trust Framework Public Sector Profile, that is a profile of the Pan-Canadian Trust Framework that's published via DIAC, via the collaborative with many partners who are not DIAC members. We do open consultations. The Public Sector Profile is more focused on public sector credentials being used for public sector issues and public sector relying parties, consumers of those credentials. And so where our difference is that we're really focused on the public and private working together in that ecosystem. And so that's how those pieces are complementary to each other. So I think that's about 5 minutes. I really appreciate the time, and we'd love to hear from anyone if you have further questions or would like to collaborate or engage. Thank you.
Great. And because I forgot to ask earlier, Joni, how would people get involved if they wanted to?
Yeah, so you can get in touch with us on Twitter or via LinkedIn. So we're engaged on different social platforms. We do many public consultations on everything that we do. There's a new one open right now. So everyone is welcome, and we'd love to hear from you on the different consultations that we're running. Right now we're running infrastructure and governance consultations. So you can just find us on Twitter or on LinkedIn or on DIACC, DIACC.ca for all the information on that. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the update. We're going to hold all questions to the end. We left some time for discussion. So moving on through the list, we have Dan Buckner with the Decentralized Identity Foundation. Dan, do you want to give a brief introduction to yourself, the organization, what you've been working on, what the path forward is, and how to get involved?
Great. Can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Can everyone hear me? Okay, great. Awesome. So, yeah, DIF, if you're not aware, Decentralized Identity Foundation is an organization that is typically, leans on the engineering side mostly. There are some other efforts around, terminology, glossary, product, level stuff, but typically the working groups and efforts in DIF tend to be focused on the engineering problems and the components that, people just generally need to be open source and available to support these things. Whether your use case for decentralized identity is something like the fraction of identity that is, for instance, credentials or wider in scope to say maybe identity is decentralized apps and storage of data that, is wholly yours. DIFs, tends to try and cover all of that breadth. In terms of the working groups, that DIF currently has active. Right now there's identifiers and discovery. It's where things like the universal resolver are worked on, as well as some of the upcoming specs that, are reaching solidification, like did well-known did config, so you can connect web origins to DIDs in a bidirectional fashion, which could be, helpful for folks. There's also the authentication working group, which has been working really hard on a version of PSYOP that's compatible with DIDs. We're going to be merging efforts with the OpenID Foundation to have a formal spec that is the convergence of the two efforts. That's forthcoming in the, I think a couple weeks we're going to kick that off. there's claims and credentials. One of the big claims and credentials work items right now is this thing called Presentation Exchange, which is essentially a unifying specification that allows you not to care quite as much about any of the what I would call wrapper envelopes, things like OpenID Connect and how it would have you expressing claims inside it, different verifiable presentation things, Chappie, DIDCOMs, like those are just really used as authentication wrappers. So we can have one shared piece of logic to exchange credentials and not have to care so much about all that. There's a DID communications group, which was a joint collaborative effort between the Aries folks, which is now in DIF. They meet weekly, and that's an ongoing effort that we have to utilize, as well as two other ones really important, the SideTree development operating group, which DID methods like Ion and Elements that work on the scalable, I would say radically decentralized versions of some of these DID methods are happening within that group, as well as a newer group that is a joint effort between the W3C and CCG and DIF, which is the Secure Data Storage Working Group, which is trying to build the underpinnings of what things like hubs, could be built on later. So those are the working groups. In terms of some of the other just initiatives we have a secrets recovery work that's ongoing right now that we have code being executed against by folks at Microsoft Research. We've also got three groups working on zero knowledge proofs, and there's upcoming code contributions from them. And that kind of rounds out, our efforts. In terms of how you get engaged, DIF is a 501c6. You can go ahead and join if you're at less than 1,000 individuals in your organization. It's free. Over that, we do expect people to contribute just to keep the organization going. So go ahead and look on the site and look into joining if you're interested. Great.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much for finishing on time. You had a minute 40 to spare. So moving on through the agenda, we have Drummond Reed from Trust Over IP. Drummond, are you around?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. And if you can tell us about Trust Over IP, its mission, what it's been up to, where it's going, and how to get involved, we'd love to hear from you.
You bet. So Trust Over IP Foundation was launched the first week of May. It had 27 member companies at that time. And we are now at, I think it's just under 120 member companies and about another 50 individual members. So it's hosted by the Linux Foundation, similar to it's a JDF, Joint Development Foundation project, just like DIF is, which means it can produce pre-standard-based specifications with all the appropriate IPR considerations. We have an open participation policy, which means anyone as an individual or an organization can join. There's a no-cost level, the contributor membership level. Takes just a couple minutes if you want to join that way. And there's two paid membership levels, the associate and the steering member levels. Associate is and each of those have small company and big company options. But at the top level, even a steering member big company is only $20,000. So the goal of the Trust Over IP Foundation is an interoperable stack for decentralized identity and decentralized trust establishment. It's a four-layer stack, the public utility layer at layer one, which is based on DIDs and DID methods, interoperable agents and wallets at layer two, which is planning to use the DIDCOM protocol that Daniel just mentioned at DIF, but there's also discussion about how to integrate PSYOP that Daniel also just talked about. Layer three is verifiable credential exchange and other data exchange protocols built on layer two, and layer four is digital trust ecosystems and their requirements. It's a dual stack, so there is the technology stack and there is the governance stack. Each of those four layers I just mentioned needs its own type of governance framework, and there can be many variations on how that happens as well. You heard Joni talk about DIAC and the Pan-Canadian Trust Framework. That's a wonderful example of an ecosystem governance framework at Layer 4. And something we think those types of governance frameworks should fit very well into the Trust of IP model. The whole goal of the organization, the effort, is interoperability. It's to move, and it may take us, may take years to eventually develop a fully interoperable Trust of IP stack. But we think the effort is worth it because that's exactly the kind of interoperability that gave us the internet, and we believe this is the path we need to follow to establish that complete trust layer for the internet that's interoperable between any two peers. Do you still hear me?
Oh, yeah, I was just saying 2-minute warning. We can hear you loud and clear.
Ah, yeah, no problem. So there are 6 working groups right now, one on the technical stack, one on the governance stack, 2 foundry working groups for governance authorities that want to use Trust RP to develop governance frameworks and technology stack profiles. And then the decentralized semantics working group has moved from Hyperledger to Trust of IP, and we started a concepts and terminology working group. Another one is coming in September called the human experience working group. So we can tackle not just user experience, but all of the human experience dimensions of digital trust. those working groups are meeting generally biweekly. Some of them meet weekly, and again, they're open to anyone. So the different ways to engage. Again, the open participation. Anyone can become a member. You can. We just had a full-time program manager start yesterday, and so we're trying to make sure all of the main list. There's a wiki that's open to anyone that registers for that, and the GitHubs just basically make everything open and transparent. And anyone who's interested in any one of the 4 levels or in developing something that's Trust Over and be compatible, we're there with open arms. We are looking forward to working with every one of the organizations that you'll hear about today. And I think that's all I've got.
Thank you so much. Moving on, I believe we have Karen with Woman in Identity. Karen, are you around?
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Karen. Great.
Hi, how are you?
And we would love to hear, doing well. We would love to hear about Woman in ID, its mission, what it's been doing, and where it's going to go forward and how to get involved.
Great. Well, first of all, thanks ever so much for the opportunity. I'm in kind of the northwest of England, so I feel a very long way from all of you, but hopefully you can hear me okay. So Women in Identity, I think it's fair to say it was in existence as a fairly informal sort of support network for a couple of years up until June last year, when the 3 kind of key founding members, Pam Dingle, Colette D'Alessandro and Emma Lindley, decided that we needed to really actually pull it together and formalize it. So it's been going in a more formal way since June 2019, and has a very clear vision and mission, which is, if you're not familiar with the organization, it is that the identity solutions that are intended to work for everyone should be built by everyone, and that the teams that are working on identity solutions should be as diverse as the problems that we're actually trying to tackle. So that, for the first time in my career as a comms professional, has been fantastic, because we're actually starting out with really clear vision and purpose. And so what we've done as an exec team over the last year is try to sort of take that forward, grow the membership group around that to see actually what is it that people therefore need and to actually give them support. So we started out, I would say, if it would be fair to say, a fairly informal networking support group for women, so that when they went to conferences they could meet other women in the industry. But literally within months it became very apparent that people wanted to see a wider representation for all the different intersections of identity. So we've got, we've a mission to support the racial minority groups. We've got, you know, people with disabilities. We have people of all the different gender associations. So what we see ourselves as now is very much an organization that, although we've called Women in Identity, we're not about women. We are about making sure that everybody is represented across the industry fairly. So we've got about 1,100 members since last year, growing at around about 100 members a month, and we are across 50-odd countries. And the way we basically manage that is through our ambassadors. So, you know, if you follow us at all, you'll see like Melissa up in RBC in Canada is doing a superb job of corralling all the Canadians together. So she's our kind of our shining light. We're supported financially through sponsorship, and at the moment we have 10 different sponsors, ranging from Microsoft and MasterCard all the way down to some very sort of small startups, but who are absolutely committed to the mission of diversity. And I think that it's fair to say this last year we've been supporting everybody through typically communications such as events when we could do them, and then we moved to webinars and online and virtual meetups, and through our communications at net newsletters and social media. And that's been great in giving us a good sort of bedrock with the membership. But what we want to do now as we plan for 2021 is to look, well, what is it actually members are needing from us as an organisation? And we're just getting feedback at the moment through the annual survey. But what seems to be coming out is that what people really want is actually a lot more support around personal and career development. So things like raising their profile, getting a jobs board so that they can move more easily and find out what, you know, what jobs are out there that would be relevant and you know, kind of be of interest to them. Mentoring programs, so lots of interest in something like that. So what we're now working on as an exec team is what do we need to do to make some of this come together? What sort of support do we need? What resources do we need? And that's been quite interesting, because I think we probably thought, you know, that people might want a little bit more technical support or technical help, and we'd be running more events around some of the technical issues, such as, you know, some of the things you're talking about. But actually what I think our mission now is very much to make sure that we are helping women and underrepresented groups in the sector to talk about those issues. They already know the things that they know. I'm listening to you lot today and thinking, wow, this is a different world for me. You're clearly very, very, you know, people out there who are very expert in their areas, but perhaps lack the confidence, the presentation skills and ability. So what we want to do is support them through raising their own profile. So you'll see that we do interviews now, and that we're promoting, trying to just start that process, have an interview in the safe environment of Women in Identity, then perhaps raise that to a blog, then you can start talking about it. And that's quite a nice journey that we're working on some of our members with. And it also means we're not going into competition with the industry around events and things like that as well, because what we're actually doing is supporting them in their often very technical conferences and technical panels to actually support them getting women and underrepresented groups onto those groups, so they can actually talk about their issues, talk about their topics of expertise and any issues as well. So hopefully that puts us in partnership rather than in any way sort of running a parallel set of events and communication. Hello? You still hear me?
Yes. Yep. If you let us know how someone might get involved, that'd be great to end on.
Yeah. So if you go to our website, www.womenInIdentity.org, you can just follow all the links to join us. It's free to join. There's no barriers to entry. We would love everybody, male, female, and no gender at all, to join us, because it is that through that we get these sort of diverse opinions, and we start to build allyship and all the great things that go on around that. So yeah, we're really keen to have everybody, you know, involved in the conversations that we're starting to have. So by all means, please do go and sign up. If you don't get our newsletter already, you can register for that there as well, and that will keep you a pace of what events are coming up and what initiatives we've got.
Thank you so much.
Only up for 5 minutes. Okay.
Thank you so much for the update. And I think that, you know, if you just look around any of the working groups we have going on in the identity landscape, the problem is very apparent, and no one person is responsible, but likewise, no one person is responsible for the solution either. So it has to be a collaborative effort. Moving on to our final ecosystem update from Hyperledger Aries, we have Sam Curran, who is a contributor there. Sam, are you on the line?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yep, just fine. Thanks. If you talk about Hyperledger Ares, the mission there, what it's been up to, where it's going, moving forward, and how can people get involved? We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. So Hyperledger Ares is a project that is focused on off-ledger interaction based on on-ledger assets and trust. So the artifacts include the types of things that we're working on. We have common libraries that are RESTC callable, and we have frameworks built on top of that with Python, .NET, JavaScript, Go. We have agent code. Agents are typically the software packages that we talk about that actually facilitate those off-ledger interactions. You know, humans are bad at doing crypto in our heads, so we need software to do it. And so that we call those that piece of software agents that can exist in both in the form of something like a mobile app. It can also be like a headless cloud service, and that serves the agent interest of a business or an organization. So there's a variety of different types of agents there. So in addition to agent code, we also have testing tools with test frameworks and dev tools. And the other thing that we have produced for use internal to the Ares ecosystem is what we call an Ares interop profile, that has that lines out sort of specific integration targets. So we keep moving the technology forward, but the interop profile gives a sort of a fixed target that can be used by teams wishing to integrate, so that they don't have a moving target for their dev teams, but rather a fixed one. I've got some links that I'll put in the chat, as I keep going, if you're interested. The DIDCOM version 1 is now what we've come to call version 1. It wasn't at the time. Is alive and well inside of the Ares ecosystem, and that's currently running. And then the version 2 work is underway in the diff, and the Ares ecosystem is looking forward to that, and migrating to that for broader interoperability there. So we have, this is more than just an idea at this point. We have working cross code-based credential exchange and other interactions and multiple projects in production from multiple code bases that are interoperable. The origins of Ares are in Hyperledger Indy, but work is well underway to support the variety of key types and credential formats that we need to integrate with other ledgers and DID methods, et cetera, so that Ares can support any and all ledger services, which is the goal of doing so. So it isn't, it's not that you have an agent that's based on a single ledger, but rather an agent that can interact with multiple ledgers as desired by the user and the developers that are providing that. Recent work includes increasing the verified information at user decision points. So when they're asking to present a credential, they already have verified information in front of them through a behind-the-scenes protocol interaction with the other parties. That also goes a long way to man-in-the-middle and phishing attack prevention, which is helpful. And then we are also working on integration of the diff presentation exchange formats in the version 2 of the Ares issue and presentation protocols for credential exchange. And then that's about the summary. We have weekly calls on Wednesday, and I'll drop the wiki link for those agendas also in a second. That's us. You're welcome to join us. It is focused on code, not on design. So the RFC links that you have are design documents for use within the Ares ecosystem, and lots of good stuff happening there. That's about it.
Great. Thank you so much for the update, Sam, with a whole minute to spare. This now brings us to the Q&A and discussion portion of the meeting, and I will open up the queue for any kinds of questions for any of the folks who presented today, and any just kind of general comments or statements that people want to make. If you go ahead and queue yourself in IRC Q+, then that will put you in the queue. And I see Heather has added herself to the queue. Heather,
yeah. Hey, yeah. Thanks, Wayne. You guys able to hear me?
Yep.
So one of the reasons why I was really curious to hear about all these groups is, you know, I just like to see us work, have the groups work together? I mean, each of the groups have their own initiatives that they are working on. And I was just curious to hear from some of the groups how, what your thoughts or philosophies or actions are with working with other groups. I know like this and the CCG have some activities, but like some of the other ones too, like especially like Trust Over IP, I'm really curious.
Great, thanks for the question. The question was, what are your, oh, sorry about that. The question was, what's your approach to working with other groups? And we'll entertain any answers up to two from any of the ecosystem updaters who want to talk about things. And I see that Sam has added himself to the queue, so you have the floor, Sam.
So there's a couple of areas that I mentioned. One is that, first of all, there's enough work to do here that trying to do it all ourselves is not something we desire. The DidCom work started in Aries because there wasn't other people interested, and as people became interested, that move worked over to a working group in the DIF. And a similar thing is happening with the formats that the DIF is working on for credential exchange. And so the goal there, that's the presentation exchange stuff at the DIF. And so I personally, and I think that this is represented in the Aries ecosystem, it's nice when stuff happens that solves our problems because we can just use it instead of having to invent everything from the ground up. And so that's a really nice thing when that happens. And I'm grateful that it's happening more and more.
Great. Thank you so much for your answer, Sam. And Drummond, you have the floor.
So I was going to say that with Trust of RP, we are explicitly helping assemble and integrate components that are being worked on elsewhere. Several of the components of the Trust of RP stack are, for instance, at DIF. It extensively uses, you know, the specifications of the W3C, DID, verifiable credentials, other work that CCG is working on. And so we're all about how do we just bring this together into an interoperable stack. So we are with our full-time program manager starting, we're going to be trying to set up liaison relationships with any other organization that's interested to just streamline that collaboration.
Great. Thank you so much for your response. Adrian, you have the floor.
So I hear the word interoperable repeated, all the time in this context and others. And from my let's call it a populist perspective or an adoption perspective, I don't hear anything that looks like interoperability in that sense, in the sense that, for instance, when I see a Wi-Fi logo or a Bluetooth logo on something, I have an expectation that something will work with something else. And I'm wondering whether this is my problem or I'm being too impatient, or how are we going to translate interoperability into a series of badges, a finite series of badges around SSI that people will understand?
Thank you so much for your question and comments. And Dan Buckner, you have the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I think to some extent, you know, we're still a little bit early. But we're seeing, I think, the components that are necessary for interop to occur. Like, I would, because it's, you know, something that's being heavily worked on, actually from a lot of the different, I don't want to use the word major players, but very active organizations, is the presentation exchange stuff. It's a great example of, we didn't really have a component that tried to unify things like OIDC, DIDCOM, Chappie, all of these things across the board. It was like each of these little silos of how you connect were sort of defining their own way that they're going to ask for credentials and exchange credentials. So there was this initiative started at DIP to say, hey, like, you know, it's great that you want to have the outside you know, envelope do your authentication. But what if we had some shared way that we could all reuse the exact same logic across all of those? And so I think that that is like an example of a component that just simply didn't exist. So you could say, well, what is that interoperability? If everyone just picks like one of these four different things, you can't really interoperate. You have to be forced to choose one. Now at least we're starting to cover some pieces where there is overlap. And so I just think that all the components aren't there yet, but they're getting there. And I think you'll see more ability to stamp things in the coming, you know, 18 months than we've had in the past 3 or 4 years.
Great. Thank you so much for your response, Dan. Moses, did you mean to queue? I see Moses Ma that you typed Q. If you'd like to speak, I'll interpret that as you're adding yourself to the queue. Oh, okay. No, I think it was just a check for the queue. All right, great. So the queue is open for anyone else who wants to add themselves to make questions or comments. And if not, I will use this to plug this community group and its relationship with some aspects of the ecosystem. So the W3C Credentials Community Group, our goal is that we want to help cultivate the ecosystem by enabling new emerging standards and helping shepherd them to where they need to go from inception to handoff, basically, to the right groups. The things that we can do here, we can generate community reports and also have registries of things, collections, lists of what the community deems are interesting and meaningful, and figure out where they can graduate towards to be able to become standards. This was, I believe, what has formed the DID Working Group, and also a lot of the same members have worked on the verifiable credentials spec within the verifiable claims working group prior to that. So that's a lot of our prerogative to figure out what are the best way to give these new baby standards the best chance that they have to move forward, gain interest and adopt in hopefully larger standards bodies, whether that be the W3C proper, whether that's IETF or even OpenID. We view our job as supporting a lot of these efforts. So we will work a lot with, you'll see a lot of the same memberships between W3C, CCG, the DID Working Group, the DIF, Trust Over IP, et cetera. All these groups mentioned in the agenda have, I believe, some significant overlap membership with CCG. So that's a quick synopsis in case you're wondering what our goals here are as a community. So we will recognize Juan. You have the floor.
Oh, hey. I missed a bunch of the Q&A. I was having connection problems, but just to answer about the interoperability thing, I think the DIF interop working group has been re-chaired. One of us is scribing, so I would ask her to speak while scribing if she doesn't want to. But one resource we're putting together, I'll throw a link in the chat as soon as I'm done blabbing, is an overview of existing sort of prior art in terms of specific profiles, test suites, interoperability profiles from different contexts like SVIP, the DIAC one mentioned earlier. There's a link to the repo where the TOIP interop profiles are being collected. So just for anyone new to the space who is on deadline and has been asked to write a report on interop or a roadmap or whatever, that might be a good place to start and get an overview of what's out there so far in terms of concrete places to start defining interop. We're there. That's a non-IPR group, so anyone can join. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Swan. Does anyone else want to add themselves to a queue? Don't be afraid to ask a question that you might think is simple. It might not be for a lot of people. And until someone adds that, I would like to run through the list again and ask a question, and you don't need to give an answer, but I will run through the list of ecosystem updatees, updaters, I think is the right word, and ask you, what is your favorite example of interoperability within the ecosystem? Starting with Dan Buffner, if you'd like to give an answer.
I guess if I had to say my favorite example, in like a really high level sense, I guess the BID.
Whatever sense
you think. Okay, yeah, well, I'll give you two. The BID core stack, obviously, I think that that's the one that everyone can point at. And one of the favorites that I have is the presentation exchange stuff, because for us as a company speaking on Microsoft's behalf, it's comforting to know that we won't have as much trouble moving over to DIDCOMs and adopting that stuff if we can keep all the guts of the logic.
Great. Drummond, would you like to give a response to your favorite example of interoperability in the ecosystem?
Well, I mean, as a co-editor of the DID spec, I'm heavily leaning towards that. I would say right now, looking at the what Daniel just mentioned about agents that speak DIDCOM that can also speak OpenID or OpenID SIOP, whether they serve as gateways or pass-throughs, it's a bridge very much worth building.
Great, thank you so much. Moving on to Karen, and again, it can be whatever you think is interoperability. What is your favorite interoperability that you've seen recently in the ecosystem? If we still have Karen with us. I think she might have had to drop a little sooner. So moving on to Hyperledger areas, and Sam Curran, do you have a personal favorite interoperability example of recent date in the ecosystem?
The other stuff I've mentioned is more substantial, but I have a personal favorite that's starting. For a long, long time, Indy was the only ecosystem that actually had the variety of credentials that they did, and now we see different approaches and more broader adoption of those concepts. And so we're not yet to that point where, you know, there's pillars of interoperability, but it's headed more solidly that way than it ever has before, as far as zero knowledge proofs are concerned. And so I'm personally very excited about the future of that, because we have collectively as a community figured out how to get a lot of the benefit with easier mechanisms to do so, and that appears to be quite popular, and I'm excited about that.
Great. So overall, very positive synopses. Anyone who wants to add themselves to the queue, go ahead. You have some eminently qualified folks here who can answer your questions, but it sounds as if we're on the up and up in interoperability, and if it were a cryptocurrency, I would buy a lot of it, not investment advice. So without anyone else on the queues, then we can adjourn early and give everyone their time back, unless there is a question. Oh, Lord, the comments in IRC. So, okay, there is Ori on the queue at this point, and we will finish off with acknowledging Ori. You have the floor.
Sorry. Just because the question was asked, the universal wallet was proposed as a CCG work item. There's source code for it, interoperability tests for it, a specification for it, and I'd love to move it to the CCG. I'm still waiting for another company to endorse it so that it can become an official work item, and to decide as a group whether we want to manage sample implementations outside of the CCG or inside the CCG. So that's the update on that item.
Oh, we're acknowledging. Okay, so that was the last update. The queue is empty. Thank you so much for all the great presenters for giving updates for the various parts of the ecosystem. Looks like we're going to continue to move in the direction of interoperability. And thanks for everyone's time, and especially Identity Woman for taking phenomenal notes. Can't thank you enough. And with that, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.